We have two halves of the program, each with a different focus. The first half has my new Sonata for Cello and Piano, subtitled Mirzain and Do. That will be preceded by four of the source songs that were inspiration for the sonata. These four source songs, three Yiddish and one in German, were songs of resistance, songs of survival that were created during the Holocaust. On the second half, we'll have music of suppressed composers, both historically suppressed composers. That genre will be represented by Felix Mendelssohn, his piano trio. And we'll also have a piece by a composer who was active, alive during the Holocaust, and who managed to survive. He was fortunately away when his country was overrun. And that's Erich Wolfgang Korngold.
The songs which inspired your cello sonata, were they written as songs, or was it poetry that was discovered?
Both. There are three examples actually, of what we call contrafacta, which is when a lyricist, a poet, will take a pre-existing melody or piece of music and add new lyrics to it. And that happened with the songs that are used in the first and last movements. These were songs written by partisans in the Vilna Ghetto. For the middle movement, we have a song by Ilse Weber, who was a prisoner in the Theresienstadt Ghetto. And she composed both the lyrics and the music.
How do you honor their memory and illuminate what they were trying to express?
I do so by using their music, by educating audiences about their music and about them, so that we can build a bridge to the past. That is the goal of this piece. It's meant to be more than a concert piece. It's meant to be an educational vehicle, a way to connect audiences, performers, listeners of today with this music of the past. Each of these creators has a compelling story. And what we want to do in performances is to tell that story, to make audiences familiar with their lives and with their creative work. So I encourage, in the prefatory notes for the cello sonata, I encourage cellists who will be performing it to also include at least recorded clips from performances of these songs, but even better yet, live performances of the songs themselves. And we're very pleased on this March 23rd concert to have four of the songs that will be sung live just before the cello sonata is performed.
This is a Holocaust remembrance concert, and we have very few people now who are still alive who lived through the horrors of that era. Did that go through your mind as you were writing this piece, that there aren't that many people who remain to tell their own stories?
Absolutely. This is one of the challenges of Holocaust historians. I am an educator and a historian and a researcher in addition to being a composer. And one of our challenges over the coming 5-10 years is to try to capture as much of that eyewitness testimony as we can. So to answer your question, yes, it went through my mind on two levels. On one level, by focusing on these songs, by building a bridge back to them, it could help people who don't have access to survivors encounter people who were alive and working at the time. On another level, it allowed me direct access to survivors. I worked with several survivors here in Atlanta as I was writing this. Fred and Tosha Schneider are good friends of mine, and I spent time with them. They helped me with Yiddish translation and Hebrew translation and pronunciation and making sure I had the subtitle right in Yiddish. I also spoke to Anne Klug. She's 90-something years old, if I remember correctly. And she was in the Vilna Ghetto. So I was asking her about some of these songs. Three of the songs originate with creators who were alive and working in the Vilna Ghetto. Hersch Glick wrote Zognit Kainmol, which is used as a basis for the theme and variations in the third movement. Schmerke Kaczerginski wrote the lyrics for Yid Du Partizaner, which is used in the first movement, and Jugendhymn, which is used in the third movement. So I was asking her to tell me what she knew about the song. And she said, oh, Hershke Glick, I knew his sister. Oh. And we used to go and their mother was baking bread and she told me stories. And then she sang the song for me. And when I lecture about this, I present a little clip of her singing the song because that's about as original as one can get.
Mm. Now, the songs are in Yiddish?
Three of the songs are in Yiddish. Three songs from the Vilna Ghetto are in Yiddish. Vigala, which was composed by Ilse Weber in the Theresienstadt camp, is in German. That was her native language.
And would you translate the titles?
Yid du Partizaner, used in the first movement, is Jew, you partisan. In the second movement, we have a Hebrew prayer, El Molei Rachamim, which means God full of mercy. It's a prayer for the souls of the deceased. And that's followed by Vigala. Vigala is just a name. It doesn't have any direct translation.
Vigala.
In the third movement, Zog nit keinmal, as du gehst im letzten Weg, never say you're walking the last road or never say you're on the final road, I've seen various translations, is the song by Hersch Glick, the one that's sung today still at many Holocaust remembrance ceremonies. And Jugendhymn is Hymn of Youth.
So these were songs of hope they were expressing.
Yes, absolutely, especially the outer movements. And that's where we came up with the idea of the title, Music of Resistance and Survival. Other Holocaust remembrance works, and at many Holocaust remembrance concerts, one hears music, hears stories, connects with the plights of the victims, and certainly that's very important to remember. But we wanted to do something a little bit different with this particular concert, and that's why we called it Music of Resistance and Survival. We wanted to honor those who were emboldened, who took courage, who decided to resist. And it was controversial at the time in the ghettos among the Jewish prisoners. There were some who thought we need to go along with what our overseers, the Nazis, are asking of us and we will survive longer. Others thought we need to resist and fight them because we're not going to survive anyway. At the time, nobody knew which was right. Those who decided to resist went into the woods. They became partisans. They fought the Nazis. There was also all kinds of spiritual resistance, as people term it now, ideological resistance by praying, by singing. And these were songs of hope. These are songs of resistance. These are songs of survival. The subtitle of my work is Mir seinen Do, and that is the refrain, the three words that end the first stanza and the last stanza of Zog nit keinmal. It translates as we are here. This to me and to many people is a signifier. It's a signifier of identity, it's a signifier of resistance, and it's a signifier of survival. So encapsulated in these three words is the whole story, in a way, of the Jewish people, that you tried to kill us, we're still here.
I'm not familiar with the Vilna Ghetto. How did those people fare versus Warsaw?
About the same, very few survivors. I don't know what the survival rate was in Warsaw. In Vilna, it was about 4 to 5% survived. Because a lot of them went out into the woods to join the partisans. And there was this conflict, as I was mentioning, between the Judenrat, the more conservative Jews who were running it, said, we need to provide labor and go along. And then the partisans who said no. And this Jugendhymn that I mentioned, it was actually written to encourage the youth to be bold and hopefully to join the partisans. Yeah. As you know, the partisans were mostly young people. The older people tended to stay put in the town. And in 1943, the Vilna ghetto was liquidated. Some escaped to the woods to be with the partisans, but most people didn't survive.
Do you have a personal connection to the Holocaust?
Yes, I do. I'm the son of a survivor. One of my research specialties is music at Auschwitz. When I talk about music at Auschwitz, I talk about the musicians and the orchestras. And then as I finish my lecture, I say, this is not only an academic subject for me, but this is also personal. And what I show are slides of the transport books that show the names of my grandmother and my aunt, my mother's sister and my mother's mother, who were captured after they had escaped from Germany. They were captured in France, shipped to Drancy, the holding camp outside Paris, and direct from Drancy to Auschwitz. And the ages that they were, my grandmother too old and my aunt too young to be useful as laborers, the selections that they did there, as you may know, were anywhere, I've heard different ages, but 16 to 35 roughly were the ages they preserved to be laborers. Older or younger were sent to the gas. And my family members fell in that group that was sent to the gas. And we have the transport list, and I show them. We have one in French that we assume was made at Drancy, and we have another in German that was, we assume, the arriving transport list for Auschwitz.
How does that inform the music you're writing?
It provides a personal connection. It provides motivation. It provides relation. I can relate to this time. As I said, regarding my research, the same is true of my composition. This is not an academic exercise. It's something that is part of my family history.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you.